If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
There's seating near the front. The concert begins at 5. It'll be Mozart, Elvis, and one of your choosing. Or just a nice, if heaven exists, to know that there's laughter. That would be a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just to hear God goes, two Jews walk into a bar.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfun Elijah, and I'm joined by a wonderful, attractive mega panel of guests. We have Buster Chayin here. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
We've got Alex Excelsior Heath. He's here. Hey, Alex.
Hey.
Jeez, Alex. Way to start off with a bang. Yeah. That cackling you hear in the background can only be from one Mr. Leander Caney. He's finally back. Leander, gods, how we missed you.
On vacation.
You're on the world's longest or worst vacation?
No, it was the longest. It was a great vacation.
Yeah, it looked incredible.
We went to every national park in the West.
Now, we're going to ask you about that in just a sec. We're also joined by Lewis Hilsentager, a.k.a. Unbox Therapy, the Unbox Therapist himself from YouTube. Welcome back,
Lou. What's going on? Thanks for having me back. Very excited.
And we're going to be talking about your YouTube channel as well, since you posted a really fun video shooting a crossbow at some prototype Apple parts.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't that sound like an everyday kind of upload right there?
Tell me that's not something every man is going to want to watch, especially since you're with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, it kind of fits the bill.
We have a great show planned for you guys. We're going to be talking about Robin Williams. I'm so heartbroken over this. We're going to talk about some of our favorite Robin Williams films. We're also going to be talking about this week's best Apple news. Of course, we're going to be wrapping up with an all-new Faves and Raves, where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. Before we hop into the show, I want to thank our sponsors, Smile Software. I want to thank them for supporting this episode. If you haven't tried Text Expander from Smile Software, you are missing out on one of the most useful apps available for Mac and iOS. That's because Text Expander saves you time and effort by expanding short abbreviations into frequently used text blocks, pictures, blocks of code, GIFs. Buster, did you see that GIF I sent you earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Text Expander, bro.
Oh, nice.
It's an application I use every day. Try it out for yourself. Just head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. I'm also super enthused to have Automatic sponsoring this episode. Automatic is your smart driving assistant on your smartphone. This is a really cool product. It's a little dongle that you plug into your carport or your car's data port, and Automatic will start monitoring your driving habits, your gas consumption, and it will tell you via the app, which is beautifully designed, how you can improve your driving to save on fuel. If you crash your car into a tree, Automatic will notify 911 that you're there. And it does all sorts of crazy cool things. Like if your check engine light comes on, it will actually help you diagnose the problem. And get this, you can churn those check engine lights off so you don't have to actually go to the shop. Alex, you said that you had recently reviewed one of these, right?
Yeah, I had a story on it actually in December. So I've had it for a while.
And it's been working pretty well in your car?
Yeah. To be honest, I don't open it that often, except when I want to like see my mileage or like a trip I made. Mm-hmm. But they've been making some cool little changes to it. I think they added like the IFTTT support or whatever it's called, where you can have it trigger things. Like when you pull up to your house, you can turn on your Nest
you
or something
like
that.
It lets your mom know.
Right. Well, it does that already, actually.
It's available for iPhone and Android. And here's the thing. They're normally $100. If you go to automatic.com/cultcast, you can actually get one for 20% off. That's $80. And there's no fees or anything to pay for. Once you plug the dongle in, it starts tracking. You can use the app to save on gas. You can use the app to turn off your check engine lights and diagnose problems. And also to track your routes where you've been. So check it out, automatic.com/cultcast. I want to thank them for supporting the show. Hey, Lewis, we got you back.
Yeah, that was weird.
Skype, oh, okay. I know we lost you
unexpectedly.
Okay, good. But you're back. Fantastic.
I'm back.
Leander,
mm-hmm.
Where the hell were you for 6 weeks?
Where was
you told
I?
Me you weren't going on a vacation this summer.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Conveniently don't remember. Where were your adventures? Where did they take you?
Well, we went to all these national parks all over the West. We went up to Utah, then South Dakota, Wyoming, mm-hmm. then back to Utah and Nevada. So we went to, you know, Zion, Bryce, Canyon. We went to the Black Hills in South Dakota. We went to Salt Lake City. It was amazing. Yeah, it was a huge
trip. You look
trip.
Like you're super tan.
Oh,
more okay. more tan than any British citizen should legally be.
Well, it's a weird tan because I was wearing these long. I only wore one pair of shorts the whole trip, and they were like down on my knees.
Oh gosh, I bet those smell fantastic. Yeah.
So I got some stripes on my arms, my face, and my sort of ankles.
So did you guys camp in tents and stuff, or was it hotels? How did you guys do it?
It was a mix. It was camping and hotels because we took this dodgy tent with a mismatched fly sheet.
Yeah.
So and you know it's weird because it's sort of monsoon season. There's thunderstorms every single day, really violent ones. Mm-hmm. So everything got soaked regularly. And then the kids got sick of it, so he started staying in hotels.
Yeah, 6 weeks of camping with your parents for your summer vacation.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And then, you know, with lots of, like, grueling hikes, too.
Yeah, you're probably Zion's in pretty good shape now, though, huh?
Zion was astonishing, yeah. Zion was like, that was a revelation, because you look at the pictures and you go, huge granite, whatever, but it's absolutely jaw-dropping, because it's so huge, and it's such a, it's on such a vast scale.
How long were you guys gone for?
It was about 3 weeks.
That was it?
Yeah.
Oh, because you haven't been on like six. Conveniently
it was
only enough.
About, it was about four, I guess, by the time, you know, like there was sort of 2 days of the, you know, 2 days of packing and 2 days of unpacking.
What was your favorite moment or place of the trip?
Someone else asked me that, and I was going, first of all, I said Bryce, and I went, no, Zion. No, it was... Sylvan Lake in the Black Hills, or Rapid City, or, you know, like there were a lot of these places are really, really amazing and hard to choose one special one. But I guess I think Zion maybe, because, you know, there seemed to be a lot more to explore there. We were there for a couple of days. We did a couple of great hikes, but there seemed to be like a, you know, that really was a special place. But so was Bryce. Bryce is astonishing. That whole part of sort of southwest Utah is there's so much. There's so much geology there. It's crazy.
Yeah, I have some family that live in Utah. It's really beautiful. I was surprised when I went
there.
I was
surprised by Wyoming, to be honest. I thought, I didn't realize how beautiful Wyoming was. Wyoming really is beautiful.
What national park is there? I feel like I should know this.
We went to Devil's Tower, from Close Encounters.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That's in Wyoming?
Yeah, and then parts of Yellowstone, although Yellowstone's mostly in South Dakota, but there's a big stretch of Yellowstone that's in Wyoming.
Fantastic. Well, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Because your laugh is arguably the best of all of us, and they're produced the most often when I'm making the jokes. So I appreciate having my wingman back.
Your laugh track?
My laugh track. Yeah, it's too hard to get Alex to laugh. He doesn't break. He's like Dolph Lundgren.
No, I'm stone cold.
He's stone cold for sure. Lou, let's talk about Apple videos.
Sure.
And your YouTube channel, Unbox Therapy, which how many subscribers are you up to now? Like 4.5 million? 6 million?
Okay. We just passed 1 billion, actually.
Wow. Dang. Congratulations.
A million.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah. No, it's been a wild ride. It's the coolest job in the world.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a really cool job, especially when you get to hang out with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And shoot crossbows at Apple products. Why don't you tell us about that? Because you just posted a video.
Yeah, so I guess I've known Joe for a little bit now, and I was on his podcast a couple of times, and we got to talking about technology and whatnot, and I had this idea after I found out I was going to have access to what may or may not be the upcoming glass panel from the iPhone 6, which, you know, supposedly has some sapphire element to it. Mm-hmm. Obviously not pure sapphire, which would be far too brittle and it's not very flexible, etc. But anyway, so we had access to this panel. And so I sent him a message and said, listen, trying to find an exciting way to to showcase the fact that this thing is not indestructible, because another buddy of mine had made a video where he really put it through hell, and it, you know, it wasn't breaking. So mm-hmm. we decided to take it as far as we could into the direction of insanity and shoot a 90-pound bow, which is, according to Joe, one of the most powerful hunting bows that you can get without having something customized. He actually said prior to shooting the glass that he had put an arrow from that bow through a bear.
Man's heart? Oh.
Through a bear. In one side, out the other side.
Wow.
And then the arrow was embedded after that into a tree, and it couldn't be removed. So this thing was mega powerful, and without giving too much away, you can probably figure out what happened to the aforementioned iPhone
glass. I'm going to guess that it broke. Is that a fair assessment?
You, I don't know. You have to go to my YouTube channel to find out.
After he shot the arrow through the iPhone, did you take that opportunity to say, "You crazy, Joe Rogan"? No?
That part happened off camera.
Okay. At least somebody said it, I hope. I was surprised. Joe Rogan, if you guys don't know who Joe Rogan is, he did that show where everyone ate all the weird stuff, Fear Factor. And he also was on the Dave Chappelle show in arguably one of the best episodes ever.
Was he?
Oh, yeah. I remember when Dave Chappelle was like the homeless guy and he was on Fear Factor and he was happy to eat all that stuff.
I forgot about that one. Yeah,
and he's like, "You crazy, Joe Rogan, but I like you."
Amazing clip. Yeah.
Joe Rogan is jacked. That guy is like stronger than Carrot Top now.
Yeah. And it's crazy because he's 47 years old. And
he's 47?
And I'm sitting there.
He does not look 47.
I'm sitting there like, you know, I get out. I do a little bit of athletic stuff. But Jesus, you know, that's next level. If at 47, I can be anywhere near in that kind of shape, I'll be a happy man.
Yeah, that guy's like a solid rock.
Yep, definitely.
I mean, I don't think the arrow could have pierced him. It might have gone through the bear, but not through Joe Rogan.
You know, surprisingly, we weren't necessarily all that prepared for that production. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of worked fairly spontaneously. So mm-hmm. I was legitimately concerned that something might not go to plan, like people standing off to the side. Like it was a fairly intense environment. On camera, it looks like we have everything figured out with the high-speed cameras that we brought and stuff. But truthfully, we had no idea what was going to happen.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Well, check it out. If you haven't watched any of Lou's videos on YouTube, Unbox Therapy on YouTube, you get to unbox. I mean, you really do have an amazing job. You get to unbox so much great stuff and show off gadgets for a living and play with gadgets for a living. I mean, the fact that you get paid for it is just amazing. Congratulations on your million subscribers.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Robin Williams, shall we? And believe it or not, this actually has some Apple news associated with it. So as everyone probably all knows, Robin Williams passed away just a few short days ago. Leander, you heard this, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's, we're local, so he lives up in Tiburon.
I didn't realize he lived in San Francisco.
Yeah, he lived here for years. We used to go to his house every Halloween, trick-or-treat, when he used to live in Seacliff. He used to come to the door, and he would hand out treats to all the kids. So
that's awesome.
I never actually got to see him, but, that was what people said anyway.
So, found dead in his home, age 63, and I have been feeling very bummed about this, and I think I've been surprised that so many other people seem to really be viscerally affected by his death. And even Tim Cook tweeted about how he was upset about it, and iTunes recently posted like his top, 40 films for you to rent and buy. Buster, is that right? I think you wrote the story.
Yeah, like more than 40, yeah.
So if you want to rent any of his films on iTunes, you can do that, or you could purchase them. But they created their whole section for Robin Williams. So I wanted to ask you guys this. I mean, when people are affected this much by an actor's death or an artist's death, like, what do you guys think it was about him particularly that connected with so many people?
Well, I think comedy in general mm-hmm. sort of, you know, reaches deeply into for a lot of individuals. It's a mechanism that human beings use to to cope. And so I think laughing, which so many people did watching the stuff that he made, offered up a connection to him as an individual that you might not be able to achieve with other, you know, other celebrities from other places or that create, you know, different kinds of content. So I think, you know, and obviously the circumstance of his death too, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like, it's just, I don't know. I think for me, that's probably why it stands out.
Leander, you kind of grew up with, I mean, all of Robin Williams' work. I mean, Mork and Mindy's Show is like his first major work. Yeah, didn't you watch Mork and Mindy?
Well, I saw a couple of episodes. I didn't grow up with it.
Nanu, come on, Leander, work with me here.
You know, I don't know how to say this. Maybe I should just keep my mouth shut, but I had never really a big, big fan of Robin Williams. I mean,
what? Would you just go to his house to get free candy, you jerk?
he was obviously a very generous man, and people said that he was very generous with his time and with his helping other people out, and seemed to be a genuinely nice guy. But to be honest, I'm never really a big fan of his, and I would avoid his movies, to be honest.
Oh
my gosh, sacrilege!
I think like the appeal of Robin Williams wasn't just that he was really funny. It's, I think his dramatic roles as well were.
Oh my gosh!
Great,
yes.
Of course, you know, like Dead Poets and Good Will Hunting and Pat Stratton, stuff like that.
The It's Not Your Fault scene is like one of my favorite all-time movie scenes. Like
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, with Matt Damon. It's a phenomenal movie. I mean, he just kills it. The fact that he could be so funny and so serious.
Yeah, because even in those dramatic roles, he's still funny. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they say it takes, you have to be good at comedy to be good at drama. So
right.
it makes sense. But he just, he's so versatile.
I'm with you, Buster. I mean, I loved his comedic stuff, but I think I really connected most with his dramatic parts. And he had, at least for me, he had a really profound ability to connect with people on an emotional level by smiling. But I think in those moments, we really got to see like the sincerity of him just as a person, even beyond acting. And I always hear stories about how kind he was. And I think that really kind of showed through in his dramatic roles. And as I said, I mean, the comedy is great. I mean, Aladdin, oh, my gosh, one of the best movies, one of his best performances. But like then you look at something like Good Will Hunting, where it is a dramatic, serious role. And he was able to at least, for me, connects so powerfully. It's just, we're never going to see anyone like that again. I mean, he was kind of like Michael Jackson in that there's just no one who's able to emulate him. He's just so one of a kind I think it's hard to think about him not being in movies anymore. And he could have been, you know, in so many more. He could have lived for another 20, 30 years. He died, I think, too soon. Let me ask you guys this. Favorite Robin Williams movie? This was a tough one for me. Does anyone want to go first?
Good Will Hunting, definitely.
Good Will Hunting, okay.
And the Oscar goes to Robin Williams and Good Will Hunting.
That's probably the safe answer, but to be honest, I was impacted. Or for some reason, I have some sort of response to Hook. As a kid, you know?
Yeah!
In your face, camel cake!
In your rear, cow derriere!
Lying kinds, buying pride, ultra pig!
You loot, crude, rude, bag of pre chewed food, dude!
Measuring
Peter! One of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
Buster?
Miss Doubtfire.
Can I give you a hand?
Oh, no, dear, I don't need a hand. I need a face. A face.
Are you sure? Miss Hillard? The water's boiling.
Hello! Probably watch that more than like most comedies, man. But that one's been on repeat at my house since I was a kid, you know?
Me too. I was going to not do my Mrs. Doubtfire hello at the beginning of this episode and have a moan of silence. But then the more I thought about it, the more I thought I should really just do it as enthusiastically as I can. As my tribute and not just keep silent. So that's why I hollered so high pitched. Buster and all the guys know my secrets for getting my voice that high. we can't talk about it on
the
show.
Oh my goodness. Let's not recap those instructions.
I think mine is Aladdin. As I'm a column, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You never had a friend like me. That was one of the cartoons I grew up with, and I think him doing musical is just incredible. So many great songs, such a great performance. If I had to choose a second place, it would be a tie between Mrs. Doubtfire and Hook, which is on Netflix Instant, by the way. Because Hook with Dustin Hoffman and Robin Williams, one of the best movies of all time.
Oh yeah,
I'm going on record.
Yeah, it was good.
What was that? What was that, Leander?
What?
What? Have you never seen Hook?
Yeah, it's dreadful.
You hated Hook? Oh, that was like so good as a kid.
Bless your child, good form, Jack. After all, what would the world be like without Captain Hook?
Yeah. Leander, you are a true hipster at heart.
It depends on what age you are when you watch it. Like, I'm sure, I don't know, I haven't seen it in a long time, but as a kid, you know, just the whole concept... Right, the whole Peter Pan concept is interesting.
I mean, definitely the best Peter Pan movie that's ever been.
No, that's not true at all.
Oh, what's for the sure. What's a better one, Leander? No.
You got to say with Earl Flynn or whatever.
No, Pan. I think. Although I haven't seen it for a long time. Pan, isn't there one called Pan?
I don't know.
I've never seen it.
That's really kind of. It's quite strange and surreal.
The animated Disney one's pretty good.
That one is great too. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But you guys also got to keep in mind, I mean, to Lou's point, like, you got to see this movie, Hook, when you're a kid. And Leander, I mean, when that movie came out, you were, like, in your mid-60s, weren't you?
Hilarious. Yeah, probably in my mid-20s. But it's a giant mess. I mean, even one of my favorite actors, Bob Hoskins.
You didn't like him in that movie?
No, I didn't like him in that at all.
Oh, my gosh. Leander, you're breaking my heart.
Yeah, no, I hate to say it. I mean, I wanted to like it. And isn't it directed by Spielberg?
I think so, yeah. And Smee was delightful. Smee!
That was Hoskins, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, no. I wanted to like that movie. I really would, but it was a mess. Dreadful.
Oh, gosh. Well... rest in peace, Robin Williams. I certainly am going to miss you. You guys have probably all been getting annoyed by my tweets, but what a loss. What a tragic, tragic loss. I'm really going to miss seeing him in movies, and now we're not going to get Mrs. Doubtfire, too.
Oh, I so am bummed out about that.
Yeah.
But at the... It could be a good thing at the same time. You know?
You're actually right, yeah. maybe Mrs. Doubtfire one was enough. I'll give you that. I just hope they don't substitute in some other actor.
Oh, no, you couldn't do that.
They're going to put in Ryan Reynolds or something and destroy that movie forever and my childhood along with it. We still got lots of Apple news to talk about. We'll run through that.
One of his last voice roles was doing the voice for Apple's iPad ads, right?
Yes.
What's your verse?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that was an excerpt from
Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society. Yeah. Well, let's get into some Apple news. But actually, before we do that, I want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. You guys have heard me talk about Text Expander. It is so gosh darn useful. I use it every single day. That's because it will take a small abbreviation of text that you type and you can create and expand that into all these different things that you can define. Maybe blocks of text, blocks of code. You can use it for animated GIFs like I did with my conversation with Buster this afternoon. Did you like that GIF, Buster? Do you know who that was?
Shoot, I forgot that GIF already, man.
Did you? Wasn't memorable? Dude, yours was pretty good. Leander, did you see it? You posted the Queen of England doing the head bop.
No, oh, yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Anyway, Text Expander lets you create so many abbreviations so easily, and then you can use them throughout your everyday life. Like, I use them for my email signatures, which I have various different ones. If you're writing emails to somebody, you can create templates and then type a little abbreviation, and Text Expander will replace that with a block of text. I use it to set up the show notes for Cultcast, so I have a template set up. I type a short abbreviation, boom, it's automatically changed into a huge template that I've created and perfected. So it saves me a ton of time by not having to type the same thing over and over again. Plus, there's a lot of little convenient features. For example, whenever I need to enter the date into a form, into a report, into an email, I have a little abbreviation that I type, and it just replaces that abbreviation with today's current date. Doesn't really sound that amazing, but it saves you a lot of time when you use it day in and day out. Text Expander is one of the most useful apps I know of on Mac and iOS. It's one of the first things I install whenever I set up a new device. Go check it out. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. Download the trial. There's a bunch of snippets built in that you can begin using right away. I want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. smilesoftware.com/cultcast. Okay, guys, let's run through some Apple news, shall we? Buster, I'm going to go to you.
Oh, snap.
It looks like iPhone 6 might be getting a round true tone flash with four, not two, but four LEDs.
Oh, snap.
Buster, what is true tone flash and why are they putting four LEDs in the
iPhone,
don't
know.
Reportedly?
I don't know why they're doing four LEDs. Maybe to make it more powerful. But true tone flash, it makes it so your pictures look prettier. It's, you know, Apple has a white and an amber LED so that, you know, the color balance is better than, you know, just a single flash.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll, you know, maybe four LEDs adds to like the range of color temperatures they could do.
I think that's what I was reading as well. So the flash will be more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
You have a 5S, don't you?
I do.
Have you noticed that the flash is more accurate than the 5?
No, I not really.
So I mean, it's just a gimmick then?
Well, let's be honest. Like, you're not going to get great like night photos from your iPhone in the first place anyway. Like, whether it's a 5S or, you know, a 5 or a 4.
That's true.
So, you know, I don't think it's going to like make your iPhone into like a great nighttime shooter yet. That's for sure.
Well, if they add more LEDs, hopefully it will be more powerful. So anything they can do to improve the flash is A-okay with me because... obviously, one of the worst things about camera phones is how underpowered the flashes are. Let's talk about iPad Air. Alex, I'm going to you with this. Hey, Alex.
Oh, snap.
What's up, dude? Quit filing your toenails. Tell me about anti-reflection coating on iPad Air. Do you think it's actually going to make a difference? See,
that's almost as exciting as True Tone LEDs. basically just make it easier for you to read and watch movies and all the things we do on our little iPads. They're going to get rid of some of the glare that's been on the glass for a long time.
But they're doing this reportedly to improve outdoor use for the iPad. Isn't that right?
Won't that just be like a matte display, kind of, you know, a little bit in a little way? Like, that's why I'm wondering if it's just going to be
saying,
like a little matte.
And they're saying, well, it's only going to be on the iPad Air, and then also that it could make supplies of it limited at first, which would mean we'll see, I guess, what shortages of the iPad Air when it comes out, even though Apple's iPad sales aren't necessarily doing too well because they haven't really introduced anything too major. I mean, the iPad Air was pretty great. Like, that was a pretty great upgrade. But I think people are worried that they're not going to be able to keep doing a lot of cool hardware innovations with the iPad. So,
well, now when you say iPad Air isn't selling that well, I mean, it's not selling as well as it once was, is what you mean, right? Because it's still selling pretty well.
It's still, it owns the tablet market, but like it's the only main product of Apple's that the sales decreased year over year last quarter. So something obviously isn't going as Apple had planned.
It's just not as exciting as it used to be, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, people don't have. I think a lot of people treat iPads like they do PCs nowadays, where you hang on to one for a while. So, like, you upgrade your phone every 2 years or maybe every year. But I mean, I know, like, my grandparents still have like the original iPad and they use it. So
what?
It's like, yeah, like it's not that common. People hang on to iPads for years. Because they last.
I had to force my mom to upgrade, actually. And she was like, why would I want to upgrade? And I was showing her the Retina screen because she had the original iPad. And she didn't even notice any difference.
Yeah, I can't tell either.
I was like, Mom, there's a huge difference. And
there is a huge difference.
There's a ginormous difference. She mostly just takes pictures of her garden and my dog. So she gets to enjoy those now in higher quality. I really kind of wonder if adding a better anti-reflective coating is going to dramatically improve the ability to use your iPad outside, because right now it's just, I mean, you could do it, but it's certainly not like using a Kindle, and I don't think it ever will be. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine they're going to improve the anti-reflection coating so well that you'll be able to read next to the pool.
That's e-ink, which is totally different.
Right.
This is going to be more like what Buster said, more of like a matte display finish probably.
So they're just going to make it more matte.
Right. And then not, it won't be, I guess, on the iPad mini. So,
oh, man, we are only a few short weeks away, too, from new iPhones.
Right. Yeah, it's getting close.
Hey, Lou.
Yo.
Any news that you can share? Any murmurings that you've heard about the different size iPhones? I know the screen that we were talking about earlier, that was the 4.7 that you had your hands on, right?
Correct. Yes.
What about rumors of the larger one?
No, the 5.5, we had access, a few of us, to the dummy sort of mock-up version of it, which, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is huge. It's physically similar to the Note 3, for example, but mm-hmm. with an even thicker bezel. But as far as components for it that actually look like finished components that would end up in a final product, I haven't seen anything. So my feeling seems to be the same as many analysts, which is we probably won't see them launch at the same time.
Hmm. How was the you mentioned the 5.5 felt huge. How did you like holding both in your hand? Which one did you feel you would go with?
Oh, definitely the 4.7.
Really?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I've got, here's the thing. Like I have a Note right over here, mm-hmm. and it's a fine device. It fits in your pocket. It's very thin, but the issue is one-handed operation. Now everybody has a different size hand, and the limits of one-handed operation therefore are different for each individual. But there seems to be, at least to me, a sweet spot in which you can, without shifting the phone in your palm, still reach the top corner. And I think a lot of people look at a really big device and think, wow, that's going to be amazing for video. It's going to have potentially a bigger battery, so on and so forth. But in actual practice, what you end up doing with a phone, especially if you're on the go or any kind of normal person who commutes, et cetera, is you end up doing a lot of one-handed operation unintentionally. And you start to wish, in some cases, that you had something closer to the middle ground. And I think 4.7 is right there.
Hmm.
For me, at least.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be a lot about personal preference. I'm not sure the one-handed operation is going to bother me that much. But if you have really tiny, little girl hands like Alex E. Heath, that could be a major problem for you.
My hands are massive.
compared to an infant, Alex?
No, compared to, never mind.
See, I don't think anybody expected even the Note to sell the way that it did. Like, but when the Note 3 first came, or the Note, sorry, first came out, people were it wasn't received well. People were like, what is this thing? Is this a tablet? Is this a phone?
I know, Leander and I, when we saw it at CES, we could not stop making fun of it.
Exactly. And it was
and now I want one.
Yeah, no, yeah. Now I want real bad.
So it's really strange how time, changes things, but but in my sort of experience and anecdotal evidence, the big screen phones are really popular with females who have like a purse or something. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of females in my life who see the way beyond the average. Way beyond the average. Well, listen, my audience on YouTube is 90% male, so I have to strike a balance somewhere. but they seem to gravitate towards it for sure.
Huh, interesting. We'll see. Time will tell. We don't have that long to wait before we find out if the 5.5 is even going to be announced. But we can for sure count on the 4.7, I think. I'm really curious. I want to hold one in my hand and see which one feels better. I'll probably end up going large because I'm large and in charge. I know, Buster, you kind of felt the same way.
Oh, yes.
Alex will end up with the 4-inch model, I think.
I'm going to see if they'll do a 3-inch.
Maybe they'll custom make one for you.
Yeah.
let's talk about family sharing. One of my most anticipated features for iOS 8 and the iTunes update. I was kind of bummed to read this piece, Buster. So iTunes got updated, and they're now including information about family sharing. Actually, first, will you tell us what family sharing is, Buster?
Family sharing. It's a new iOS 8 feature, and it lets you, so you don't have to basically buy all the same apps that your wife is buying. You know, you purchased them all in like the same family plan. You know, everybody's added, so like six people can share apps and on the same credit card.
Which makes a lot of sense, especially for guys like Leander.
Yeah, he's got like 16
children.
Yeah,
yeah. So, Leander, you're probably pretty excited about this feature because you don't have to rebuy the same apps over and over and over again.
And
right, yeah, totally. Well, yeah, I'm very excited about it.
He's trying to incriminate himself.
Like, yeah, you don't like, and you don't have to give people your Apple ID.
Exactly.
And password,
right. That's the other way that
get
you can
those
do
apps.
It.
Yeah,
and really, you should be able to share your purchases with your family. It's insane to expect you to buy an app for your kid, an app for your other kid, an app for your other kid, an app for your other kid. Oh, in your life. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to just authorize them to use the apps you've already purchased.
Right.
But the bummer is here, I guess I didn't realize this. The program is actually going to be opt-in only. So developers don't have to let you be able to do this. They can say their app can't be used with family sharing. Is that right, Buster?
True. Yeah. Developers do have to like choose which, you know, in-app purchases are shareable across family share, as well as like the app itself,
mm-hmm.
even.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a bummer there. My guess is most games will enable family sharing, you know, because those are the ones that get shared a lot. But maybe the more expensive apps kind of stick to just being you have to pay per device, or I guess per iTunes account.
Possibly.
And in the app information now, you'll be able to see if family sharing is turned on, correct?
Yeah, it'll tell you, you know, if it's turned on. Also, there's a cutoff date, it'll mm-hmm. tell you that as well. Or if,
what do you mean by cutoff date?
Like, so for like some photography apps, like Afterlight, it has in-app purchases.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that you've purchased after June 25th will be carried over. But if you purchased like an in-app purchase before that, it won't be part of like the family sharing stuff.
Oh, so they can kind of set a time limit on it. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you. That kind of sucks too. All right, well, let's wrap up with this story, which I thought was really exciting, and then we'll head into faves and raves, and faves and raves, and faves.
Shh.
Oculus Rift, the SDK is finally added support for OS X. This is cool. Lou, have you ever used an Oculus?
Yeah, actually, I just finished testing out the second developer's unit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How did you like it?
So there aren't a ton of experiences mm-hmm. that are catered to it yet,
mm-hmm.
Especially the second developer kit. But the sort of more slow paced ones where you're more explorative, like there was this one I was doing inside of a spaceship that was really interesting and mm-hmm. compelling, but then there were some other ones that totally threw me off, like this spinny roller coaster that I needed to escape immediately.
Did you feel like you're gonna hurl?
I don't know, it wasn't so much that, it was kind of it was just not enjoyable. You know, there was something off about it. It was maybe a frame rate thing or something,
mm-hmm.
but the way that my brain was interpreting it, it was not meshing in any kind of pleasurable way.
We should probably back up for a moment and say, can you describe, Lou, what is the Oculus Rift? How do you use it?
Yeah, so the Oculus Rift is a virtual reality headset, which essentially you strap on your face like a set of ski goggles, and hopefully a set of headphones too. And the idea being that your head and the location of your head in relationship to what you're looking at is being tracked as if it normally would be in a realistic environment. So if I, for example, look to the left while in the headset, my character in the space that I'm looking into will also turn to the left, etc. So there's a thinking that there could potentially be experiences where, say, from a gaming perspective, where you could eliminate one thumbstick, so you no longer need to direct your view somewhere in the same fashion, or maybe even one step further, that you could be on like a treadmill and you could be fully immersed in a virtual reality experience where it was actually reacting to you walking around, etc. I also played with the Google Cardboard. I made a video on that, which is like Google's $15 play at,
and it's virtual, literally made out of cardboard.
It is literally cardboard, and you place a number of different Android devices in the front of it,
mm-hmm.
and essentially have like a low tech version of the Oculus experience, but I was blown away with what it was able to achieve.
Really?
using just a phone, a cardboard contraption, some specialty lenses. For example, you could do a Google Maps experience where you are driving around essentially as if you were the Google Street View vehicle, except so you could be in Rome, for example, and as the vehicle moves around, your interactivity with your head is of course in relationship to the surrounding world. So
it's like a first person.
Yeah, it's like taking
a view?
Wow. Yeah, it's like driving around in a convertible in Rome, and you're doing this on a $15 piece of cardboard in your phone. So I see all kinds of potential there. When it comes to just from an experience standpoint, you know, maybe to go through a museum or something, you know, all of these potential experiences that are really labor intensive to have in real life, that you could sort of replicate those in a, you know, maybe for now a kind of a low tech way, but eventually they could potentially rival the real thing.
I've heard lots of excitement about Oculus Rift. I've actually never gotten to wear a pair because every time I find a pair, like at a convention, there's always like a line of 100 people.
Right.
But every person that I've talked to that's worn them has had really good things to say about it. And it kind of seems like it's going to be the future of gaming. And there's so many other experiences that, you know, have a lot of potential, like the Street View experience that you mentioned.
Most
so
definitely.
Being able to use this on your Mac, I think, can be really super cool. Owned by Facebook, true. But, you know, that just means they have the money to develop.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say that's an interesting... go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I can see my like in so many dimensions now.
You can actually walk around your like and look at it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're working on that experience right now. Lou, what were you going to add?
I was going to say that it's a really interesting acquisition, and it shows you where some of the sort of Silicon Valley imagination is in relationship to virtual reality experiences. Facebook wants to own, you know, your experiences essentially, and you know, your how you socialize, etc. You can imagine a future where you're essentially online dating through some headset, and Facebook is essentially has ownership over that, advertising potentially within those experiences. It's once this thing is able to fulfill the things that we're already doing more proactively through computing, you could imagine this almost Matrix-like future where you strap in the morning, right? You don't physically move. I mean, we're all
I would do that.
Well, see, that's the thing is, it's like, I think a lot of people look at individuals who are staring at their phone all day and say, you know, that guy's doing it wrong, but we're all doing it. So sometimes it's not like a conscious thing. It just develops, and all of a sudden we're doing it.
Imagine you could don the Oculus Rift, and you're in your Match.com account, and you can actually like walk around the person that you're thinking about contacting.
Yeah.
You know, check out that badunk dunk. That's the future I want to live in.
Badunk dunk.
Does anyone say that anymore?
I don't know. 3D prospecting.
3D bootay. No, but seriously, I'm really excited about Oculus. As a gamer, especially on the Xbox, I'm like, this is going to be incredible. Like, to be able to play like a massively huge online like RPG and be able to look around the world, like those huge, you know, vistas they always build into games like that, that would be super duper cool. Okay, why don't we go ahead and move on to a little segment I like to call Faves and Raves and Faves and Raves and Leander.
Faves and Raves.
Oh, I like that little embellishment you put on there.
Wow.
Welcome back. This is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps, and then we vote on which one's best. We'll also post our picks on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, so you can tell us which ones you think are the best. Excited to have Lou joining us for this segment, since you get to review so many great gadgets.
Right.
You should have a great pick. Does everyone have something picked out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Lou, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
You're our guest, our most honored guest.
Sure.
Go ahead.
This is probably not the most exciting thing that I've looked at recently, but, you know, it's a utilitarian kind of device, and I really like the industrial design of it. It's called the FluxMob Bolt. I don't know if you guys covered it on Cult of Mac or not. It was a Kickstarter project, and essentially what it is it's a really pretty looking little battery backup for your phone, which has the power prongs built into it. Mm-hmm. And so it's not much bigger than the size of the power brick that you would already be bringing with you for your phone, et cetera, except it carries with it a full charge at all times. So the idea being that this replaces your charger. It's you don't carry it along with your charger. So it's serving two purposes. You guys, I don't know if you guys can see it in the video there.
Actually, yeah. You're not sharing your video.
I'm not.
No. Oh.
It's weird. I see myself. Anyways, so it's I featured it recently. I did a video called What's in My Bag, and I've been doing a lot of traveling. So I've been really obsessed with this idea of, you know, cutting things down to just what I need to bring. So any device that does the job of multiple devices, I get overly excited about. So FluxMob Bolt.
How much does it cost?
It's $59.
Gotcha. I'm writing this down. It looks cool. I like the industrial design of it too. Oh yeah, look, that's cool.
It's got like a really soft touch sort of plastic to it, but it almost feels a little bit higher quality than plastic. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's probably the size of two of your iPhone power bricks. But see, one of the problems with battery backups is, are they charged when you need them to be? Because here's this extra thing that you've got to always remember to charge up either off your laptop or with a separate power adapter. So in this case, it's like, well, if you're always using it as your charger, then when you need to bring extra power, it's always ready to go.
And so these are for charging mobile devices.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, it won't do an iPad. It's let me just look here real quick. It is 3,000 milliamp hours, so it would do an iPhone more than once.
Okay, cool. FluxMob Bolt. Does anyone want to go next? Leander?
Okay, well, I can talk about...
Does anyone want to go next, Leander?
What's that?
What do you got? What do you got on tap for us?
Well, I don't know if I've... I might have chosen this one in the past, so it's, okay. Please tell me if I have.
It's, you'll know by our laughter.
No, it's the Waze navigation app.
I don't think that you have...
And no, Waze. I think someone chose it in the past
because
it was an independent app. I think Google bought it.
They did. Yeah.
It's a navigation app, but it has this. It's really good with social sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it tells you if there's any cops on the road up ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So and hazards and stuff that stopped by the side, and it's amazingly accurate. Like, I couldn't believe it. We're out in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly the thing beeps and it tells you, you know, warning, there's a car stopped on the shoulder, and there's the car right exactly where it says it's going to be. And this is because someone else has passed that and sent a notification. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that goes into the database, and then if you're driving the same road, you know, it sends it to you. And it was really good for like speed traps and with cops, hazards, traffic warnings. It's so much better than Apple's, you know, mapping application. Hate to say it, hate to rag on that old, you know, that old chestnut. But at one point we were trying to get from, you know, I wasn't paying full attention.
You?
It was weird, you know, like it gives you a brief overview and I go, oh, hold on a second, that looks kind of weird because there was this... You know, the blue line connecting the two dots where we are and where we want to go. And then there's this kind of long leg that points down. But we followed the directions and we get to this tiny little town and it tells us to take this weird road by the railway tracks. And then as soon as we get on that, it says turn around and come back the way you came. I'm like, what? So I look at it and it has taken us on a 40-mile detour down this road, told us to do a U-turn, and then drive
this
right back
Apple
up
Maps?
Again. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I couldn't
my
believe
gosh,
it. I was absolutely
I
flabbergasted. It was so weird.
Yep. That kind of stuff I feel like happens all the time. You just can't trust it.
No. Well, no, you can't. So that was actually the turn. You know, like I'd used Waze on a road trip last year and found it to be amazing. And then for some reason, I don't know, I forgot to use it again this year until that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sat there and I sat and waited until Waze had downloaded and loaded up the new directions, you know, and then used it from there on in. And it's got some, I don't like the UI, the interface is goofy. It's got some goofy little icons and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It seems kind of childlike, but I mean, it's a solid, solid app. It's amazing, in fact, I think.
Okay, Waze. And it's free, I think, still. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was still in the App Store. I thought Google pulled it.
No, it's still there, and it's got a really good, you know, a lot of people use it, obviously, and so I find it really, really useful.
Cool. Okay. Buster, Alex?
I'll go.
Okay.
I know you like GIFs.
Dude, I love GIFs.
So mine's GIF-centric.
It's got called another good GIF app? Jeez, you're on a roll.
Yeah, man. GIFs, man. They're my thing. it's called GIFme. It's an iOS app and a Chrome browser extension. And basically, it just helps you keep track of all your favorite GIFs so you can use them on your
phone.
Oh,
man, I need this.
Yeah, so you install the Chrome extension, and then any, you know, GIF that you come across while browsing the internet, you just right-click it and, you know, just go GIFme. And then it's already synced to your phone, and you pull it up and just tapping. You have like this huge screen with all of your GIFs, and you tap it, automatically copies it to your clipboard, and then you can just paste it right into a message to send to a friend.
Holy moly.
Oh, that's cool. It's also on Safari, too.
Oh, okay.
You
sweet.
Just secured
yeah.
yourself an upvote, my friend.
Yeah, man. It's pretty. If you want to use GIFs, man, it helps you build like a whole freaking arsenal of them.
If I could only use one thing on my computer, it would be GIFs. That's all I could use it for. I would be okay
GIF
with
computing.
That. Yeah.
A GIF book.
Okay. Tell you what, I'll go next, and Alex, you can go last, unless you want to go now.
No, you got it.
Okay, cool. So I have been reviewing something that is totally pointless and not useful in any way, but boy, is it fun. So I have been reviewing a laser. I've told you guys probably about it a little bit.
Didn't we do this before I went away?
No. I think I told you guys I was getting it, but I didn't actually talk about it. So I actually got this thing. It's from a company called Wicked Lasers, wickedlasers.com. And they say they make the most powerful handheld lasers in the world. And so they sent me this thing called the Arctic Spider.
It is
a really ridiculously and by
looks like a lightsaber.
It looks like a lightsaber. This thing is insane. It is the most powerful laser I have ever used. It shoots a blue laser. They have different colors available. And when you put this thing on full power, it will burn through electrical tape. It will pop balloons. It will singe your hair off your arm. It will blind small animals. And the beam goes out into space, and you can literally see this thing traveling through space and time. It is incredible. It's so bright. I actually kind of feel paranoid using it, like the FBI is going to come take me, because it's so powerful, and when you're shooting it up into the sky, I mean, everyone can see it. It's so incredibly bright, especially when you use it at night, and it goes up, you know, infinitely into space. They also have a bunch of lenses that you can buy to create like cool like shapes and stuff with your laser if you want to, you know, drop some of those mushrooms or something and have a cool light show with your friends. If you accidentally fall in your grass and swallow a poisonous mushroom and hallucinate, this would be a fun toy to use. They have a lightsaber attachment, so you can actually turn this thing into what looks like a lightsaber and use it as cosplay. It's kind of expensive, I'm not gonna lie. It's like $400. So unless you're a super mega nerd,
$400.
Yeah. And that's not even
$400 on a laser.
That's not even like the most powerful one. They have ones that are like $800.
What's it for though? I mean, this isn't for giving presentations on keynote, is it?
Not unless you want to blind everyone in the audience and also light the screen on fire. Yeah, this thing is so bright. Like, it comes with a pair of safety goggles because you are not supposed to. I think you can look at the laser itself when it's shining outwards into space, but the reflection from the dot it creates can instantly cause eye damage. So you should never look at it when shining it at other objects unless it's on low power. Then you're probably fine. That's my pick.
Unless you're trying to blind someone.
Unless you're trying to blind someone, or you have like a really nice like sniper rifle and you need like a laser dot or something, then it might work well. But this, it's really fun. As I said, not useful in any way, but super duper fun. It's a really fun toy, and it's built very well. I've been having hours and hours of fun with it. That's my pick. The Wicked Lasers Arctic Spider. Alex?
Wow.
I pass it to you, sir.
Well, if you need medical treatment for damaging your eyes from Irfan's laser, then you should be interested in my pick. It's called Better, and it's an iPhone app from the Mayo Clinic. And, well, they're a startup, but they're partnering with the Mayo Clinic. And the Mayo Clinic is also working with Apple on HealthKit and all of that stuff. And they basically, it's like having a doctor in your pocket. So I have... I have a doctor who's assigned to me who she can schedule all of my I don't think they're actually credited doctors, but they're like practicing nurses. So they're nurse practitioners or whatever. So they're about as close as you can get. It's basically like, it's a mix of the Siri personal assistant idea with a medical twist. So like, for instance, I need to get my wisdom teeth removed. So she has all of my insurance information, my address, who my dentist is, and all of this. So I say I want a consultation with an oral surgeon in my area. So she looks up a surgeon based on the best recommendations. She calls my dentist to get a recommendation. They look up in the Mayo Clinic archive to find the highest rated people. And she checks with my insurance company to see who takes my insurance and what all those details are. Tells me which dates are available, schedules it for me, mails me my paperwork in advance, all that stuff. So it's basically like taking all of the friction out of the healthcare industry and the insurance companies for you. It's pretty cool. And then you also have unlimited access to the Mayo Clinic's archive. Like, there's a symptom checker. So if you're feeling down with something, you can put that in and put all your symptoms in, and it tells you probably what's wrong and gives you resources on how to help. And then you have 24 access to the phone line at the Mayo Clinic and all that. So it's pretty cool. It's you get a 2-week, there's like a 2-week completely free trial, and then it's $50 a month. But the catch is that you can add as many people as you want to your plan, and she made it sound like it doesn't even have to be a family member. She was like, yeah, we're a startup, so we're just trying to get people on board, and we don't have a limit on, you know, so if you have a family or significant other or whatever that you want to include on your plan, you can add them. So it can end up being pretty cheap, and it's definitely been a lot easier for me scheduling appointments and all that. It's been really nice.
Cool. So what was the name of that again, Alex?
Better.
Looks like Leander had to leave abruptly. Welcome back, Leander. But you know what? He chose Waze. We can all admit there's not a chance he was going to win.
No. Yeah.
Waze, what year is this? Jeez. Speaking of Robin Williams. All right. So Alex, yours is called Better, and you said the app is free, right?
Yeah, the app is free, and it's a subscription after your trial's up. But they're super cool. Like, the lady that was assigned to me originally got reassigned or something, so she didn't get back to me for a couple days, and so a new person was put on my account, and they extended my trial for another 2 weeks. Nice. Just because, like, so they're super accommodating. And,
so eventually it's $50 a month? That's
yeah.
the idea? Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I've heard all I need to hear. It's time to vote on who shall reign supreme this week's Faves and Raves. Lou, would you like to go first?
So I have to vote for something besides my own.
Besides your own, yeah. I know it's tempting to vote for your own.
So I'll take my own then. Well, geez.
Lasers. What would Joe Rogan like, Lou?
Can I get a real can I get a real quick recap? I have the lasers, I have the health app, I have what else do I have?
Gift collectors.
The gift collector.
Oh, the gift collector. Now I'll go with the laser.
Yeah. I honestly think that was the better choice.
I mean, $400.
It is $400, but you know what? I mean, you could probably use it to melt an iPhone prototype. I mean, there's so many things that you could do with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Alex, who's is your favorite?
Oh, man. I want to do Buster's gift thing, but I'm going to have to go with the laser.
Yeah!
What?
That surprises me, Alex. I thought you were going to go for the gift thing for sure.
No, dude, it's a giant freaking lasers, man.
I have attached it to the head of an ill-tempered sea bass, and it works sublimely.
Yeah.
By the way, Alex, we're getting some pretty choppy audio from you. I don't know if you have something backing up.
Sorry, I'll get off my boat.
Yeah, okay. Buster?
I'm going to go with Lou's minuscule iPhone charger.
Okay.
It's actually useful, you know, and it doesn't cost $400.
it is more useful. I will give you that. But is it as much fun?
Is it cool? No, it's not as flashy. You're right.
It's literally not as flashy, especially since the laser has a strobe mode. I'm gonna go, Lou. I almost chose yours because I really like the sound of the Bolt, but I'm gonna go with Buster's GIF app. Because I really love GIFs, and I always have a hard time. You know, like when you find one online, Buster, and you're like, how am I going to save this for later? Especially if you're on your iOS device, it's not always easy to like bookmark it. When I'm on my computer, it's nice just to be able to save those and then use them on any device I have. So what was the name of it again? The
GIF me.
Fantastic. So I guess that means I win.
Dang.
Thanks, guys.
Isn't that twice in a row?
I think that is twice in a row.
It's ridiculous.
I almost busted out in song.
Oh, I want to hear that.
We should go ahead and edit that in. Okay, cool. Tell you what, we should go ahead and wrap it up there, I think. I want to thank Automatic for supporting this episode. Hey, go check out automatic.com/cultcast. They have a bunch of great videos there that will show you exactly how the Automatic module and app work together to save you gas, to help you drive more efficiently, to help you find your car if you can't remember where you parked it. automatic.com/cultcast. All right, well, that's the cultcast we have for you guys this week. Hey, Lou, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Always a pleasure having you on. Where can people find you online?
You can find me at youtube.com/unboxtherapy or on Twitter at unboxtherapy, or you could just Google unboxtherapy.
If you need some unboxing therapy, go check out Lou's channel. If you want to follow one of the rest of us three stooges, I'm at Airfun, Buster's BST3R, Alex is Alex E. Heath. Leander is L. Caney. I think he's been posting a lot of pictures of his vacation, so you might want to check those out. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Keep your eyes in the sky. Look out for my laser.
We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race. And the human race is filled with passion. Medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for. Quote from Whitman, O me, O life of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish. What good amid these, O me, O life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. Powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?